This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Icon Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia,
Justine Hughes,
and Augie Angersano,
as we break open the Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influences, Father Rob Gallia Homilies. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Catholic Influences podcast. We're officially over halfway through the season.
Oh my.
I feel like that's gone so fast, but it has been a blessing for us to be with you each and every single week as we explore the Word of God. And this season, again, we've been listening to some incredible interviews, and today is no different. Another amazing scripture passage and another amazing interview. How are you guys?
Good. I just ate.
You did. We
and
watched.
I'm sweating now.
It was a microwave butter chicken, just for anyone.
No, yeah. It was very good. But great. Now I'm like sweaty. Is that normal?
I feel like it's quite hot in here, so it's probably adding.
I really hope there's no underlying health
issues.
Okay,
what did I just eat?
I didn't have my first name.
Coffee. Any of you like coffee?
I do.
Probably. Everyone is a coffee drinker here. I travel with a drummer everywhere I go, and he doesn't drink coffee, and it's always so complicated. We just order coffee. I like black coffee, just simple espresso. That's for me, maybe later in the morning, a macchiato. But he wants a spicy chai latte. It's like,
he's very fun to travel with.
He's lovely to travel with, but come on.
High maintenance.
It's a high maintenance drink. Yeah. It is.
But okay, coffee though, is it something you need or something you just enjoy?
Both.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely need it.
Yeah.
Definitely need it, but I don't want it with a lot of milk.
Yeah.
And I discovered that a way to place my order succinctly in Australia, you can order a thing called a magic.
Mm, I drink magic in Australia, but everywhere else it's a
Anywhere else and you ask for a magic, they think, what are you on?
Yeah, like actually it's not even in Australia, only in Melbourne.
Yeah, so Melbourne magic is kind of like double shot.
Ristretto, but not espresso.
Yeah.
So double ristretto with some milk. So it's extra strong.
That's my order, for anyone wondering.
Me too, if I'm in Melbourne.
Now you're just copying me.
No. I said it first.
Alyssa, are you a spicy chai latte kind of guy?
No, I'm quite simple. To be honest, I got into black coffee before my wedding because I knew I was traveling to the USA for my honeymoon, and I thought I would prepare myself. It was also like a wedding diet at the same time. Now I like an almond latte. I can mix between the two, but I think for me it's more an enjoyment factor. I don't feel like I need it to function. Mm. It's more an enjoyment.
That's good. Do you have coffee every day?
Yes.
Oh, so I think you need it. You don't realize.
No, I've given it up for Lent in the past and survived. I didn't get withdrawal symptoms. I was good. It was more, I can't be social and have this with my friends.
I've given it up for Lent as well. And
was it pretty?
No.
Yeah.
I won't. Will not do it again.
Do you order spicy chai lattes instead?
Probably. Let's hear from our sponsors.
Icon Ministry wants to reach out to the Alpha generation. Introducing MetaSaint, a revolutionary project where the hope and love of Christ meet the metaverse generation. Did you know that the Roblox platform transcends mere gaming? It's a bustling digital universe with over 70 million users a day. This is an incredible opportunity to share the gospel with young people. Do your children or grandchildren play Roblox? Tell them to start playing MetaSaint, where they will have an interactive experience of the gospel like never before. As we pioneer this exciting new frontier of connection and community, we invite you to help us in this groundbreaking mission, our biggest project yet, to ensure the digital spaces can become a place where all can encounter the transformative power of Christ. Together, let's bring the gospel to the metaverse. Visit metasaint.com to learn more.
Let us pray together. Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts that we may receive the blessings that He wants to give us, the insight He wants to give us throughout this podcast. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord, You are a good God. You love us and You've called us to explore and to open Your Word, to know You, to know the sword of the Spirit and to be equipped, Lord, so that we can be strong and stand firm. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Enlighten us and give us your guidance. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So as we approach the fifth Sunday of Easter, the gospel reading for this week is from John. It's chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
What version of the Bible is that?
The NIV.
NIV, New International Version. I pray with that Bible verse, Bible version. I find it the most prayerful.
Hmm.
Yeah. And do you know what Bible version you use at home?
It's in a brown leather bound book. I just know it's Catholic, okay?
Most the NK.
It's got all NKJV. The Bible books in it.
Yes. Well, anyway, I just found it interesting. It's even some of the words that were used in that scripture verse are quite interesting. And I can recognize an NIV translation because of the words it uses. Of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and New Testament written in Greek. And so a lot of these translations, not the NIV, but a lot of, especially like the New Jerusalem, are actually not translated from the original. They're translated from the French. So choose your Bible wisely. Do your research before. New King James is very good. The NIV, I find very good, but find the Catholic version because they're very difficult to find Catholic versions.
Mm, yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought,
it's mentioned that. I feel like I study with a different one,
yeah.
And I always have to check
the wording. Word choice.
It's slightly different.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
There's NIV is more devotional, more than study. I wouldn't study with an NIV. But it'll be interesting. Comment below. Let us know what Bible you use. Check what version you. If you look through the front of the book of the library of the books of the Bible, you'll see what version it is. We'll be interested to know what you use.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the vine.
I was just going to say, there's a really great connection to the Old Testament here. Jesus perfectly embodies the obedience to God that the people of Israel were called to embody, and that we are called to embody as disciples. So the vine here is a biblical image for Israel as the people of God. And we can read about this in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in." So we know that throughout scripture that Israel's calling was to be obedient to God. And Jesus, as the true vine, he completely fulfills his calling as he's completely obedient to the Father's will. And the disciples who live in communion with Jesus as the branch united to the vine, we're called to practice this same obedience to the Father's will.
This scripture also asks us, obviously, yes, just to stay close to Jesus, but also calls us to be fruitful.
Mm.
I think that's is something, because there's a lot of scary imagery that it also talks about, that if you're not fruitful, that it's a branch that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. But I think it's just a good question to ask ourselves and to talk about is what actually makes us most fruitful? Because we can be doing a lot of things, but are those a lot of things actually fruitful in the eternal perspective? And, you know, if we look at a grapevine, what are we looking for to know whether it's fruitful? We're looking for grapes. So if we look at Christians, you know, what are the signs of their fruitfulness? We're probably looking for Christ-like behavior. We've got to do good. That's what makes us fruitful, good in Jesus' name. And God wants us to live like this. He wants us to bring forth his goodness, to bring lost souls back to him, to fill human society and culture with his sense of justice and beauty. And so how do we do it? Okay, so it's one thing to know what fruitfulness is, but how do we actually do it? And I think there's lots of ways that even if we chat about it on the couches, we could talk about. But I think two main ones for me, bearing fruit means staying close to Jesus, staying attached to the vine. And we can do that through prayer, through the gift of the sacraments, through being obedient to God's will. But then the one that makes me shudder a little bit that this scripture talks about is it also requires us to be pruned. In order to be most fruitful, we need to be pruned. This purification of our own selfishness is so key to being fruitful. And it hurts. You know, loving through a sacrificial way it hurts, but it's weird. Anything that's good for us in the Christian sense probably has a level of hurt with it, but in a very abundant, it produces abundant fruit. That when we sacrifice for someone else, it's like you realize that the point of life isn't you, that there is a gift to be found in sacrificing for other people.
Yeah, and I think this pruning can also kind of come up when we face different moments in our lives that are maybe perhaps challenging, or they're perhaps trials that maybe God's allowing in our lives for that greater fruitfulness to come. Like, and I think this image of the gardener is a really great image to kind of depict that. I'm not a gardener. I know, Father Rob, you like to do a bit of gardening.
I do, but I'm not good at it.
Okay.
But I do like it.
I grew tomatoes.
I tend to kill things when I garden. But yeah.
Well, God doesn't kill things. I think God...
No, I have a tree that I pruned so badly that I killed it.
All right, that's not how God is.
I was just going to say that okay. I'm not a gardener, but... You know what pruning's meant to look like. And yes. I think I...
Now I do, yeah.
I'm not a gardener, but I understand that that process, there is a greater good to come out of it. We have to cut off those dead areas, unproductive parts, for a healthier growth and for more abundant fruit. And so, again, this image of God as the gardener, he's refining us as believers so that we can produce better fruit. And again, as you said, Justine, these experiences can be painful. They can be messy. Like, I think of all the branches, like, just being cut and that whole process. It is messy, but it does lead to this greater spiritual maturity, and it does lead to this greater effectiveness mm-hmm. in serving God than if we hadn't have had that process. And I think if some of us are in this season, we can kind of get a little bit bitter and we can get a little bit angry at God because we don't really trust the process. Mm. But we know that God is trustworthy and that he's going to bring good out of that situation. So God is that gardener and we need to trust that process.
Absolutely true and true and true, because one thing we have to understand in this context is the pretext as well. Like, Jesus used, why did he use this analogy of the vine? Well, the vine was very significant. I imagine, and some scholars say, that he was actually standing in front of the golden vine when he was talking this, when he was saying this. Now, the golden vine was pieces of gold that people would have donated to the temple, and they were melted and shaped into a vine that kept growing and growing and growing around the temple, depending on how much gold was donated. And this was a symbol of the growth of Israel, that Israel was taking over the world, taking over our hearts, all of Israel. And so Jesus is standing there and he's saying, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So this is a golden vine, but I am the true vine. I'm the one that has true life, and you are the branches. But this analogy has many insinuations. What do you say? This, like, it insinuates a lot of things, assumes a lot of things, teaches, mm-hmm. analogizes a lot of things. And one of the things is that the idea of the branch. You see, so he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. There are the smaller ones. But as time goes by, what happens to the smaller branches? They become eventually bigger branches. They actually become the vine that take on other small branches. And that's the idea as well of discipleship, apostleship, apostolic succession. You know, the idea that Jesus has passed on to his disciples to carry out, to become that source of life to others, that discipleship, the growth of the church. Also, there's the idea of too much pruning, you know? And we can be pruned too much, but Jesus is gentle with us. He works with us. And sometimes we feel we're being over-pruned, but we need to keep on trusting the Lord, that the Lord will prune us. He will take us to places sometimes where we don't want to go, to places of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And we have to stay close. Another thing about the vine is that its wood is useless when it dies. It's probably one of the only pieces of wood. You can't use it to tie things. You can't use it to do anything, to build things. The only thing it is good for, because it is so soft and it becomes so dead, is to burn it. So we need to remain attached to the vine. Otherwise, we will be useless, useless in eternity. In this world, absolutely we can be useful. But for eternity, it is useless if we don't stay close to the vine. And another thing about the branches on a vine is that each branch supports the next and builds the next and allows the next one to grow and the next one to reach up and to reach higher and to be stronger. So one is dependent on the other. Again, Jesus is telling us, hey, we need community. We need each other. As well as you needing me, you also need each other's support.
Totally. But, you know, situating that gospel truth, that eternal truth within our worldly context, you realize that it's quite conflicting. You know, we live in a world that sort of preaches the gospel of individualism, like go it alone, do it for yourself, like climb that ladder, you know, where we are the goal, I am the goal, where I've got it all and you know, I can do anything. But I think that when we buy into that lie, and it's very obvious, and we see it unfold to a really sad ending. That's why people, when they fall really, really hard when they've bought this lie that they can just do it and everything's about them. And they fall really hard because everything relied on them, and actually they aren't self-fulfilling. They can't save themselves. There isn't value to that. We actually can't do it alone, and we weren't made that way. And that's what this scripture is saying. You know, stay close to the vine. Don't detach yourself from the vine. So it is quite countercultural. And so it probably is really good to examine our hearts. You know, if things have lies have snuck in to say like, oh, you can just do this part, you know, by yourself. You don't need community. Or that's just a suggestion.
It's interesting also the word he uses. He doesn't say stay close to the vine. He says abide with the vine. Mm. So abide is a very strong word, though. To abide means to stay indefinitely, to stay like where there's no beginning to something and to another. It's become where you become one, hidden in the wings, like you disappear because you're hidden. You're abiding in the wings of Christ. And so and this is the thing we have to do as well, to abide in Christ, is to make sure we have a prayer life, to make sure we stay, like you're saying, stay close to the community, and to stay close even when the vine is all twisted and turned upside down, even when the vine doesn't look good, even when the vine doesn't feel like it fits in. There is no hope for survival if you stop abiding. So you need to abide with Christ to keep, make sure. Now, this is a word to those of you who struggle with prayer. And a lot of us stop praying because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel prayer is drawing us closer to God. In fact, we feel like we're moving away from God. And so we stop praying. But we need to anchor ourselves in prayer. Stay in prayer, even if you're moving backwards. Because there's no way for you to move forward if you're not in the habit of prayer. And you don't underestimate also the power of prayer, that when you keep praying, then there will come a moment where you're going backwards, you're backwards, you're sinning more, you're doing stupid things more, you feel like you're moving away from the community more. Stay close to prayer. Don't ever let go of prayer. And then all of a sudden you'll see, you'll slingshot forward when the time is right, when the Lord is ready to lead you. Like a vine, you know, that gets stuck, and then all of a sudden it's released and then it comes up to its rightful place. So again, stay strong in your prayer, especially those of you who are struggling with prayer, struggling to stay faithful, struggling to keep in that place of prayer, especially daily prayer.
I was just going to say, even if you're in a season where you feel like maybe God is pruning you, that's when it's really most important to stay connected to that only source of power, that only source of true life. And again, you mentioned we're in this world where it's very countercultural to not do things on our own. Sorry, you said countercultural to
do things on our own.
Other way around.
Oh, sorry.
You know what I'm trying to say? Countercultural to rely on others, to rely on God to help in that situation. we need to fight for that time and fight for that connection to the vine. Like, so don't be afraid to do that as well. Yeah, I think this might be a good way to lead into our interview for today. This season, we're doing incredible interviews, and this week is no different. Augie is going to be interviewing Father Leo. Some of you might know him from Plate and Grace. He's the cooking priest.
Yes, and also, do you know he's a break dancer?
Hey.
And he's a karate black belt.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to this interview. Speaking
from
about
Portland, Oregon.
That's the one. Okay. Yeah. We were trying to work this out before.
Yes, I was thinking port something. I couldn't think.
You in that
just
moment.
And that vine. Like,
speaking of vines, we want to make sure that we are connected to Jesus, which is the true vine. But I think sometimes we can kind of fall into these traps of the wrong vine that's going to make us produce not so good fruit, that fruit that does kind of need to get cut off. So Augie and Father Leo are going to be exploring one of the types of the wrong vine.
In the heart of our ministry lies the generosity of our Icon Ministry partners and donors. It's because of you that our online masses, courses, podcasts, TV programs, school, youth, and parish outreach efforts extend their reach to millions of people worldwide. Your ongoing support allows us to spread the love of Jesus and his message of hope far and wide. Please prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, whether through a one-time donation or as an ongoing ministry partner. Your contribution makes a world of difference. Together, let's illuminate every corner of the earth with his love. Visit iconministry.com/support to learn more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Catholic Influencers podcast. We have an amazing guest with us today. His name is Father Leo. If you're not aware of who he is, he's a priest, he's a chef, he has experience in TV and radio, and all of that experience makes a really unique outlook on his ministry and just on the Christian walk itself. So, you know, those who follow him are fed physically and definitely spiritually. So thank you so much for jumping on the podcast, Father Leo.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So the topic that we wanted to discuss today on the podcast, I'm just going to like jump right into it. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about modern spirituality. The first question I had was, you know, why is the protagonist of the story reversing in a lot of these Hollywood narratives? I saw an Instagram post that you did of like a cartoon where like the devil was the protagonist and heaven was the antagonist. And why is there just this sort of like infatuation with magnifying darkness in a lot of culture and media?
Well, I think we have to go back to the first temptation. The manifestation of evil was in an apple, or excuse me, a fruit that was beautiful to behold and looked delicious to eat. The devil is a master at plating sin. That's why my organization is called Plating Grace. We have to make grace look beautiful. But unfortunately, when you take a look at some of the things that come out of Catholic media circles, it's all kind of corny. It's kind of irrelevant. But yet, the devil has worked with a lot of mega million donors, and they're able to make bad things look good. It's all in the presentation of things. But we also have substance that has to be presented in a way that is also digestible. You can't give meat to a baby. They will choke. They will die. And so what we have to do is understand how we are presenting, but also pay attention to what we are presenting and to who. I can't just simply come at people with a catechism if they don't even know who Jesus is.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question I kind of have.
By the way, did you catch all those food references?
Yes, I did. I did. That was on point. I mean, that was 5 points.
It's my brand.
You're staying very on brand right now. You're doing well. Okay. So next question: someone who's like a cradle Catholic like me, or someone who is just really aware of the gospel and maybe grew up in a Christian home, what are the dangers of maybe passively or aggressively sort of being exposed to this new age way of spirituality?
Oh, all New Age spirituality is dangerous. So let's just not kid ourselves. And it might be passive, but it's actually just very aggressive, to be honest with you, because it's everywhere. There's no place you can go, even in a cradle Catholic home. I'm sorry, the bubble has been burst to that Catholic kind of culture, because if there is electricity, then you have TV, you have internet, it is there. But what we have to do is do as Jesus taught his disciples to do. Be cunning as serpents, innocent as doves. Be very aware that you are probably going to be forced poison down your throat. You are going to have serpents bite you. But Jesus said, but you will not die. So number one, we have to toughen up our Catholic kids. We have to make them wise to the world and give them discernment. We have to allow them sometimes to fall, knowing that falling doesn't mean death. It means that they now have an opportunity to get up and try again, and therefore prove their fidelity and their trust in God. And so what we have to do is make very clearly for parents to turn their dinner table into a desk where the greatest lessons in life are learned. Parents need to start having deeper conversations around the dinner table now, because honestly, if the food is good, the kids will not be able to speak because you can't talk with your mouth full. And so I really think that if parents return to the dinner table disciplines, which includes praying before you eat, making sure the family participates in serving one another, including doing the dishes at the end, expressing gratitude for God, then they'll have a more fighting chance to go through this world, not unscathed, but also not completely defeated.
No, that's really good. What would you say to the person who is dabbling in New Age spirituality? And what I mean by that is, you know, people who are doing this, they're seeking something. You know, they're hurting and they're looking for a miracle. You know, what would you say to the person who's just really reaching out, but just in the complete wrong places, looking for miracles in the wrong direction?
Well, one, I wouldn't judge them, because again, if you're broken and you're hurting, you're going to go anywhere and everywhere. Two, I would be an even better friend to just show true love, to true show support. You got to accompany them. By the way, that's a food reference too, from the word kumpanis, means with bread. You got to make sure that you're not just simply shoving faith down their throat, because again, they're not probably there for that. So just show them the beauty of what it means to live a life where we trust Jesus. That doesn't mean that you can't go and have fun. It means that you can have great fun. I mean, my gosh, all the places where people go to and take selfies are all Catholic places. So, you know, I think number one, you can't judge them. Two, you have to be willing to accompany them. Three, be careful in how much faith you are kind of pushing on them, because they might just feel like it's constantly being forced and they're just going to run the other way. Four, show them the beauty of what it means to be Catholic. And then five, you have got to be interceding, praying for them, fasting for them, slipping in a little green scapular underneath their mattress or something like that, and let grace take over. You can't force them to believe, but you can, in a sense, force God's hand to exercise even more grace for them because of your intercessory prayer for them.
Father Leo, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your time. Last question, what are you most excited for 2024?
Well, on top of all the craziness that the world is throwing my way, I'm jumping into that crazy by opening up a restaurant.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Where at? Like, where located?
It's going to be in Baltimore. It's going to be called the Gastro Social. And it's going to be not just a restaurant, but it's going to be a gastronomy social space where obviously food will be celebrated, but also the power of food can bring people together. And when people come, they know that all of the proceeds go to doing good things, including hiring people who need a second chance or a helping hand. And also we provide food for soup kitchens and even deliver food to homeless camps as well. So on top of everything that I've got to do, why not open up a restaurant?
Wow, no big deal. That's so awesome. No, that's incredible. That's we'll be praying for you over here. And
what I need to get is Father Rob Galea to come and do a concert for us at the restaurant.
Yeah. You need to go up the chain. You know, I'm like, here, you gotta move it up the chain. But I'm sure he'll do that.
You're tall enough, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you, Father Leo.
Peace.
There is good, there is evil. There are those attached to the vine and those who think they're attached to the vine, but it's actually the wrong vine. So we have to be discerning. We have to be careful. And we have to pray and keep close to the Lord and listen to the still small voice. As we listen to the Lord, we seek the peace of God. Nothing to worry about, nothing to be anxious about. God is with us. God is with you. Stay close to the Eucharist. Stay close to His word and you will be strong. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We look forward to having you again next week. We're grateful. Subscribe to our podcast if you haven't subscribed. This is an opportunity for you to help us as well. When you subscribe, when you rate us, you're allowing us also to go further and to reach further. So we're grateful if you would rate this podcast, even on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like it and you subscribe to our channel.
And make sure if you are following us on social media and you see a post, you see something that you think might resonate with a friend, this is your way of sharing the gospel with others. Feel free to share that. Feel free to like, save, comment. Mm-hmm. All of that engagement helps us to get this podcast to other people, to help others become connected to the true vine, which is Jesus. So make sure you follow us on all of those platforms, CatholicInfluencersPodcast.com for all of those links. And we look forward to joining you again next week.
Blessings.
Adios.
Ciao.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.